Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
On this rainy, snowy Wednesday morning, hump day, we welcome you in. It is a glorious day for many of you, as it's like Christmas Eve, literally. With the NFL draft coming up tomorrow, it's NFL draft eve. And so we're having a little fun this morning. Wednesday, traditionally every few weeks we do a Tell Me Why I'm Wrong, where you get a chance to come up with a hot take and have Mark say those words we all love to hear. You know what? You're not wrong. That's whole milk.
There's been a lot of 2%ers so far today.
Yeah, we're 0 for the first hour.
Right. But they all have, like, there's all a caveat. It's kind of like what Nick Saban said the other day about the draft. Did you hear what he said about the draft?
Oh, yeah. Can you get that, Benny?
It was just awesome. He talked about the two biggest words in draft prep and or but.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll play that in about maybe 10 minutes.
We've had some buts.
So, O for the first hour. We'll see if you can break through. Here's one from John. Mark, there's no player you can add this year that makes you a certified playoff team. You're picking 9 with an on-paper, solid starting roster. Wouldn't this be the year you should take a QB? Tell me why I'm wrong. Again, that growing sentiment out there that this is a better roster than a lot of people think. And that, again, I'm going to read the tea leaves. So when maybe George Payton agrees, and when he comes out and says, this is a sleeping giant, that's what he meant when he said it. I see a roster that is better than most people think and is ready to blossom pretty quickly here. What if he looks at that? What if he looks at it and says, you know what? I'm looking at my roster right now. And I don't necessarily see a guy that we could draft right now that is going to be a step-in, plug-and-play starter that will be better than what we have. But if I get a quarterback, now I can put that quarterback on top of this roster. We can do some pretty good things this year.
This year?
Yeah.
So you think
I'm kind of adding to what John said.
So, John, tell
John why he's wrong.
So obviously John is saying that
the roster's not that bad.
If you take a quarterback right now, you've got a chance to compete.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yep.
So, all right, let me just tell you why you're wrong. All right. Because which quarterback is that then, John? Which one? Any quarterback will do? I mean, right now you've got the any quarterback will do who's ever left over philosophical approach. So your idea is, hey, man, if the 49ers take Justin Fields, then either Mac Jones or Trey Lance will be fine. Oh, wait. The Niners take Trey Lance. Oh, either Mac Jones or Justin Fields will be fine. The Niners take Mac Jones. Oh, either one will be fine. So you're telling me that the Broncos right now and their scouting department, who has put months and months and months into this, are basically saying, who's ever left over is going to be the guy that's going to take us to a world championship. Doesn't matter who it is. That's what you're telling me. That's the philosophy that the Bengals have used for 30 years. That's the philosophy that the Browns used for 25 years. That's the philosophical approach that crappy teams use, the Jets, have used for 50 years. And what are the results? Garbage. So I don't believe that George Payton and all his wisdom over the last however many years he's been working in the NFL says to himself, any one of these quarterbacks is better than what we've got. Any one of these quarterbacks is going to take us to the promised land. Any one of these guys, just let one fall to me. I'll take it. I don't believe that. Now, if he makes a move, if there's a guy that he really likes and he's just biding his time to see what San Francisco does, and let's say San Francisco does take Mac Jones, and let's say that he is in love with Justin Fields, then he better move up. He better go get him.
What's your read of Peyton? What's the one quarter? If you had to pick one out of Lance, Jones, Fields,
I would say Fields.
The level is most likely a Peyton type of pick.
I think that Fields is most likely the guy that's going to blossom. And again, Ohio State, he played a big division. I get all that. And Ohio State's a little different in the Big Ten. Ohio State's like an SEC team in the Big Ten. Athletically, they overmatch Michigan. They overmatch Michigan State. They overmatch Iowa. They overmatch all the teams. Penn State. They overmatch them all athletically. So that's always a little bit of a red flag for me. But again, I'm going to go to that playoff game against Clemson,
uh-huh,
where that dude, like, literally, you know, ruptured ribs type of thing. And he finished that game.
That was an impressive performance.
He threw some dimes in that game against a real athletic and good football team. I would think that that would be the guy that you project could really help you down the road.
You know me, I'm not a draft a quarterback in the first round, not draft a quarterback in the top 10, but if I was forced to pick one that I would like out of, and I'm going to throw Zach Wilson in this group as well. Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields. I prefer Fields.
Yeah, I'm going to be excited. If they take Fields, you know, if they end up going and getting Fields or whatever. My big thing is always this. Evaluate your guys. If you're in love with a guy and you think that guy is going to fix your franchise, right? If you think that guy's got the potential, as long as you build around him and know that that's a process, if you think that guy has the potential to be a franchise type quarterback, I'm all for it. The absolute idiocy.
Can I really quickly jump in?
Yeah.
Do you believe George Payton is meticulous enough that he would come around on one guy? Does he strike you as a draft a fill-in-the-blank quarterback? Or does he, if he's going to take a quarterback, it's because he has zeroed in on that guy?
The guy, yeah. He's that meticulous. It's that guy. So the principle that people are coming at me with today on Tell Me Why I'm Wrong, hey, we're just going to draft a quarterback. No. He's not just going to draft a quarterback. If he drafts a quarterback, he's going to draft the quarterback.
Some pretty cool comments about how to read the draft and how to look at the draft from Nick Saban. Plus more Tell Me Why I'm Wrongs next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So far, we're 0 for the day, 0 for the morning when it comes to anybody.
Yeah. We've been close. We've had a couple people that have
come close, but nobody yet has been able to break through and tell me why I'm wrong.
There's always been a caveat on each one.
All right, here's one.
Okay.
This one's good. This one's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be the judge of that, but go ahead.
If Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater somehow fall into the Broncos' lap, Mark is going to be spending draft night in his office with the door closed and the tie on the knob. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, if they get to that point, I will be excited. But I will not. I will not. Listen, there's one guy. There's one guy. There's one guy that plays O-line that creates that kind of atmosphere where the incense burns and there's ample amounts of,
all right, stop,
lavender oils.
Oh, jeez.
You know, there's him and then there's Brady. And beyond that, I mean, that I'm not really tie knob in the door for anybody else.
But just the idea that they would have
done
that.
Would I be excited? Like, if Penei Sewell dropped, would I be very excited about the prospect of having a potential big-time offensive lineman, you know, that can solidify one end of your offensive line for the next day? Yeah, of course I would be.
As you look ahead to the draft, trying to figure out the draft, it is a crapshoot. It is a 50-50 proposition. So how do you, as a talent evaluator, if you're on the Broncos or any other front office, how do you make sure you get it right without overthinking the whole process? Nick Saban, perhaps you've heard of him, spent a fair amount of time in the NFL. He had this perspective on the NFL draft.
And I tell our players all the time, the two most compelling words in the draft report is and but. All right, so they read the player. And I'll take a defensive back. Right, he's got quick feet, change of direction, good long speed, can play man-to-man. He's a good tackler. He's got toughness. He's got really good ball judgment and really good ball skills. And he's a good person. He was a leader on the team. He graduated from school. Coaches loved him. Read the same player, but he had a positive drug test. He had a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend. He got in a fight in a bar when he was a freshman. Strength coach said he wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire. Who do you want on your team? And or but? All right, so what I tell players is you don't realize that as soon as you apply for a job, as soon as you put your name in for the draft, people are looking for reasons not to pick you. They're looking for reasons not to hire you. So don't give anybody a reason to say but. It's the only way that you can create value for yourself. So that and but, what came after that had nothing to do with what the player was, but it had a significant impact on where the player got picked. So this is an analogy that I use all the time with players to try to get them to understand, how do I create value for myself in my future for what I want to accomplish?
What's your reaction to that?
I love it. It's 100% true. How are you creating your value and maximizing your value? And we have talked about this plenty. You know, part of the issue that you get into when it comes to drafting players is too many people are looking for what guys can't do athletically. So they're creating butts in the athletic evaluation of a guy, in the talent evaluation of a guy. Where I'm a believer in what can the guy do and can that help us win? I think that's important. But absolutely, this guy show up on time. They work hard. I tell you, like, you know me. I am early to everything. Absolutely everything. I am never late to anything. Ever. Ever.
You are kind of a Boy Scout that way.
But why? When you are perpetually late, do you know what you're saying to everybody that's waiting on you? My time is more valuable than your time. I'm more important than you. What a horrible way to go through life. Yeah, I know a lot of people think that I have lack of humility. And, you know, I probably do in some instances. Like, I know what I believe when it comes to football, and I know what I'm seeing on film, and so, yeah, there are times where I get under your skin. But, man, if you are that guy, seriously, if you're that guy driving right now and you're late and you're perpetually late, the thing you say to everybody, I told this to the team in 1997 when I called a team meeting when we had dropped a couple of games. I said, you know, you show up here late, you're basically saying my family is more important than your family and my time is more important than your time. What a crappy teammate you are. You're always the guy running in 2 minutes late to a special teams meeting, or you're a terrible teammate. It's horrible that you would do that. Those are maturity aspects. And this is what he's saying. You understand the value. You understand where you're at in life, right? But you just look at it like, oh, well, whatever. I can get away with it because I'm that good. I just, it irritates me. It's a horrible way to run through life.
Four Down Territory coming up. Right now, I want to give you a chance, just a reminder of how you can win MLB The Show 21. Create your own dream team and Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legends and current stars. You can have a lot of fun. It's for hardcore or casual baseball fans. You can play all 162 games or just drop in for the biggest moments to the postseason. MLB The Show 21 is now out on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. We are giving away a free copy on PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do is enter to register for the free Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter with news, columns, game recaps, and more. Sign up now at denverfan.com and you could win MLB The Show 21. Four Down Territory is coming up. Our pal Cecil Lammy with his one and only mock draft. What does he have the Broncos doing? We'll share it with you next.
And he's loose!
This is Four Down Territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the
on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Fields with a snap. Fields looking to toss. He'll float that one into the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Garrett Wilson on a 10-yard catch. Fields hit him in stride coming off the right flank. And in two plays, Ohio State has taken a 6-0 lead.
Buckeyes Radio, the Ohio State, and the one and only Cecil Lammy with his one and only mock draft. He is not a believer in trades. He just plays it straight.
Oh, yeah.
And if everybody stays put, he believes Justin Fields slips to the Broncos at number 9, and the Broncos select Justin Fields. I guess the best way to go about that, do you expect there will be trades from teams beyond 10 moving up into the top 10?
I do believe there's going to be a few trades.
Moving into the top 10 specifically is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. See, I don't buy all this talk about New England moving up from 15. The cost of moving up from 15 to 9, 15 to 7.
Too much?
Too much. And if I'm Bill Belichick, I have the confidence, I got the arrogance of saying I built a 20-year dynasty on a 6th-round pick. And oh, by the way, along the way, I found a 2nd-rounder, Jimmy Garoppolo, who turned out to be a pretty good quarterback as well. I don't need to overextend at the quarterback position.
Yeah, but don't you... I mean, I don't know about New England, but I feel like somebody is going to be like, wait a minute, so-and-so dropped, whoever that is, and we need to go up there and get a guy. I don't know. I just feel like there's enough desperation... There is enough desperation when draft day rolls around that somebody's going to do something stupid.
That's actually probably Arizona, that's
remember,
a smart take.
Arizona moved up to get Josh Rosen.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Next year drafted Kyler Murray, number one overall.
You're right. Somebody's always doing something dumb, like the Broncos trading up for Paxton Lynch. It's the NFL draft. Somebody is going to do something stupid.
Right.
So if you need more proof, there's an example. Day number 2189. Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
If I'm Denver, I'm sitting there today. If I'm Vic Fangio, and I'm thinking to myself, I got Mahomes, Herbert, and Derek Carr. I got to get a guy that's ready to play. I don't want to go with Justin Fields. I got to win now. So I think Vic Fangio could argue, my offensive line played pretty well last year. I'll go Jimmy G.
Colin Cowherd on the Herd. Same guy who a little less than a year ago was saying Drew Lock was going to be the dark horse MVP candidate in the NFL and that the Broncos.
Brother, this guy stinks!
And that the Broncos were, you know, going to be the dark horse team to challenge the Chiefs last year. Well, we know how that worked out. So he's moved on from Drew.
Yeah.
And now he's saying.
Drew let him down. Drew did not support his narrative.
Right.
And now I'm done with it.
That's right. He's dead to me. So what about the idea? What about the idea? There is growing speculation that there's no way that the 49ers hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo, that he will be traded. All right, so if the asking price is a second rounder, you know, they're not going to get a first rounder for Jimmy Garoppolo.
No.
So if the asking price is a second rounder, should the Broncos be in on Jimmy G?
For a second rounder, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy G has proven that he can play. I mean, when push comes to shove and he's healthy, when he's been healthy, he can play. His issue has been availability. He's been hurt so much. So, if it's a second rounder and it fulfills what you've said, your mantra since the day you walked in here, there's going to be competition at the quarterback position. You draft a guy in the top nine, that's not competition in the quarterback position. That is, we have usurped you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your participation. See you around sometime. Hope it works out.
Well, see you later. Well, yeah, that's how we would correctly read it. But if the Broncos did take a quarterback at number nine, George Payton right away would say, okay, here's Drew has competition. Here are the two guys. We like both of them. Best man wins. And all the time he's saying that, of course, his nose is growing and we're like, come on, George.
Right.
But does he strike you as the kind of guy that would make a move like that and then sell it that way? Or would he come out and say, hey, look, this is the guy that we feel is our quarterback of the future?
I think he would come out and say, man, we've got competition now, but we want competition at every position. But the bottom line is competition is so tilted in one direction. I mean, you know how if you draft a guy in the top 10, that dude is going to play.
You know what? We haven't seen a lot of George Payton, but my early impression of him is I don't think he's the kind of guy that would come out and give us that jive. And that's what that would be. He strikes me as a straight enough shooter that if they did draft a quarterback, it'd be like, okay, this is our quarterback of the future.
Yeah,
This is the guy who sooner rather than later is going to be our guy.
There's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be an initial competition, but eventually you know who's going to win the competition.
No, I don't think he'd even refer to it as a competition.
All right.
It'd be a placeholder. Come on.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew Locke would become the placeholder.
Correct.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited to have you come into this league. And, man, what a pair up we could do with old Dak Prescott and some of those guys that we've got out there of options to get you the ball. So we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here.
Oh,
scary. Jerry, that's audio of a Zoom call that the Cowboys and Jerry Jones did with Kyle Pitts. The idea of Kyle Pitts teaming up with old Dak Prescott.
Old Dak Prescott.
Old Dak Prescott.
Right. I'm a little concerned. You're dreaming about sugar plums and you're talking about the shower and I'd like a definition of sugar plums over there, sweetheart. How do you define that?
You don't think it's the traditional sugar plums? You think sugar plums for Jerry has a different meaning?
Now that's right.
Yeah, I've been thinking about your sugar plums in the shower.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, definition of sugar plums.
If he finished it off, with rock, paper, scissors, then that's really going to set.
You just did it the right way.
I know. You've had an effect on me.
Wow.
By the way, Kyle Pitts.
I was ruined.
Kyle Pitts. Yeah. Kyle Pitts, no. Rock, scissors, paper. Kyle Pitts is a phenomenal athlete. Phenomenal. But again, that's that's the Cowboys, right? A lot of sizzle. Not a lot of steak.
Just sugar plums.
Mm-hmm.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
No, his fifth year option is going to get picked up. He's definitely going to be our quarterback. So that's the plan, absolutely.
All right, following on the heels of the Browns picking up Baker Mayfield's fifth year option, John Harbaugh, says that, they're definitely going to pick up the fifth year option on Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Jackson 5.
Okay, same question I had for you the other day with Baker Mayfield. Do you see Lamar Jackson playing out that fifth year? Do they get a long-term deal done before. Because my point's always been, if you let your quarterback actually play in the fifth-year option, you are definitely unsure, and you've probably already made up your mind that he's not the long-term answer.
I think they both will try to get a long-term answer or a long-term contract in place. It just depends, is the quarterback willing to, like, are you willing to actually work with the organization and say, hey, man, I'm not trying to set the market. I want fair value, but I'm not trying to jump over the top of Mahomes or whatever.
Right.
Like, I think they definitely, both of those guys, and Baltimore's just a unique situation because of the style with which they play and the complementary nature with which they play as an organization. You can only do that with that guy, number eight playing quarterback.
Okay. See, I would argue a different way. I would say that by the end of year three, you got to be convinced that the arrow's going up with this guy. By the end of year four, you got to be convinced that this guy can lead you to a Super Bowl.
Oh,
and if you don't think he can, then that's when you got to start thinking about, all right, we'll let him play the fifth year option just to give us one more year to try to convince us, but we're already kind of thinking he's not that guy.
The difference between, I think the difference there with Lamar versus Baker is you're relying on, like, Lamar, third down and six is a running down. So you're relying, and you're getting so many one-on-ones, you know, so many shallow crosses, so many slant. You're getting the just one-on-one coverage all over the place because of the way you run the ball. So, to me, Lamar would be more likely to play out the fifth-year option because injury becomes a real issue.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Coming up next, this will be our last opportunity to speak with Troy Rank before the draft. So, Troy will tell us one last time what he's hearing and what he believes the Broncos will do. That's next. Tell me why I'm wrong. Nobody has been able to break through yet.
No, it hasn't, and it hasn't been close. It's a little different than a normal one because there's a lot of speculation involved.
But I think the whole, if the offensive lineman dropped down to the Broncos and took one at number nine, that might lead to, I just think the moment, maybe not the player, but I think the moment might be so big that it would require a go into the office, close the blinds, close the door, put the tie on the knob, and just say, leave me alone.
Okay, well, when we redid the office, we took the blinds out, so we don't have blinds right now.
There's nothing there?
There's nothing there.
Just an open window?
Just an open
window. Even more salacious.
Yes.
Right. All right, let's welcome in Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX, ROX Heating and Air.
Troy, how are you, buddy? Here we are. Draft Eve is like Christmas Eve. So where are we? What's going to happen with the Broncos? Are they going to go after a quarterback?
Yeah, the issue would be whether they would move up. I do believe Justin Fields is on the board. They take him at nine. I think if Mac Jones is there, they likely take him. Not as sure on Trey Lance. I mean, obviously between Lance and Jones, one of them won't be available. I still think Mac Jones goes to the 49ers at three. And so the issue for me then becomes, if Justin Fields is sitting there at nine, would they take him? I believe they would. If a quarterback is not on the board at nine, or let's say it's Lance and they don't want Lance, and I don't know that for sure, but let's, under that premise, they could then move back, you know, to 13, 14, 15, and look at corner J.C. Horn, look at Jalen Phillips, the pass rusher, or Quiddy Pay. I do believe George Payton is thinking along those terms. And you guys bring up a lineman, you know, if Penny Sewell or Rashawn Slater falls down and the chance to get a right tackle at nine, that's in play as well. But the one we're all focusing on is if a quarterback were there at nine, and what if it's eight, you know, when it only costs a second rounder to move up, would they move up for Fields then? I haven't gotten that feeling from them, but Justin Fields is certainly the one I'm keeping an eye on, and a lesser degree, Mac Jones, because again, I think Mac Jones is gone at three.
Okay, so if you are that convinced that, especially if it's Fields and or Jones that are available at nine, that George Payton would take them, and then you add in the Broncos' interest in Matthew Stafford, does that tell you, does that tell us all you need to know, all we need to know about how George Payton feels about Drew Lock?
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Lock is they're lukewarm to him. If they had to go into a season with him, they could. You know, he's just good enough to we're like, well, yeah, if he's our opening guy, day guy, could we, you know, rationalize it? They could. He's a developing quarterback, second year in a system, maturing offense, great defense. He just stops turning the ball over. Could we win with Drew Lock? Yeah, there's guys that think that. The issue they run into is you look at the division with Mahomes, Herbert, and Carr, and then you have to – the sobering reality is if Drew doesn't improve significantly, they can't win. Like, it's just not going to happen. And some of this onus is on Pat Shurmur, too. You can't just say it's all on Drew Lock. Some of the play calling did him no favors either. But that's the issue. They're just kind of caught in the middle here that they don't love every quarterback in this draft. They're not willing to trade the farm for everyone, and that might be a mistake. That's where they get caught in a mistake here is that if you like Drew Lock just enough, you don't move up to get Fields, you don't get a quarterback, then what? I would think then they would be really aggressive the next offseason for a veteran quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and who knows what happens with Deshaun Watson, if all three of those guys become available next offseason, you'd have to be all in then because next year's draft is not as strong at quarterback.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things is we say that every year, but every year there seems to be five guys that everybody's all giddy about, right? So, I mean, you know, I mean, Baker Mayfield was a second rounder then until he became the first overall pick. You know, Kyler Murray was a second rounder until he became the first overall pick. Joe Burrow was a sixth rounder until he became the first overall pick. So I think there's always kind of an inflation of, you know, somebody's going to play well and they're going to move up. But I think it is interesting. How much a factor do you think that next year the potential of a Russell Wilson, the potential of an Aaron Rodgers, and think about why Peyton Manning chose the Broncos all those years ago? Because offensively, man, they had some weapons, right? They had DT, they had Eric Decker, they had tight end Julius Thomas. They had some weapons that you looked at and said, man, you know, this is a place where I could go up and put up big time numbers and win. So, like, how much are they thinking about the potential of quarterbacks who become free agents next year?
Well, you have to always have that forward looking vision and say realistically what's available. I just think if you're the Broncos, you have to be careful believing you would get one of those guys. Let's say Watson, Wilson, and Rodgers, you know, are pseudo available. The price would be enormous. But if you're going to trade multiple first rounders, like you're going to trade the four to the Falcons and you're trading multiple first rounders, you can argue to me, I'd rather trade multiple first rounders for Rodgers, Wilson, Watson. Watson, again, this is his legal issues notwithstanding, because you know what you're getting. Known commodities, top five, top two players in the league instead of, you know, betting on the unknown. But when Peyton came here, they were close. I mean, they were right there. And when you look right now with the Broncos, if that quarterback were to come next year, Mark, you could see that Vaughn might be gone. Kyle Fuller might be gone. Bryce Callahan might be gone. You'd be starting over at quarterback, obviously. And you might have a new coaching staff. And, like, that's why, for me, that's a little complicated, is who would be making that decision, which coach would be involved. You might have the advantage of then trying to hire a coach that's directly connected to one of those quarterbacks to take over, but it's a little foggy because we're just not sure what, if they don't have a winning record or they're not competitive right to the end, I can't imagine Vic Fangio survives. Most modern day coaches don't start their career with three straight losing seasons and keep their job. That's not Fangio. That's any modern NFL coach. So, I think you'd have to be careful saying we're a lock for that. But that could be an option. It could be an option, but they've got to address the quarterback situation in a meaningful way at some point. And if that is Drew Lock playing significantly better, I mean, I guess that's just in this division, that's a hard sell right now to Broncos country.
All right, let me throw two other names out there. If they become available, would the Broncos be interested? Jimmy Garoppolo, Jordan Love.
Yeah, I was told yesterday that while Jimmy Garoppolo is getting connected to the Broncos, that there's not interest there. Now, could that change based on what happens in the draft? Certainly. You know, that's, we're saying that now, and the Broncos aren't clamoring for Jimmy G because of the fact they're still on the board at 9 here for a quarterback. But Teddy Bridgewater obviously makes sense if he gets cut or you trade a 6th, 7th rounder for him and you pay him, let's say, between $5 and $7 million. That's not an exciting prospect for Bronco fans who've seen seen a version of that in Case Keenum. But that's an option more than Jimmy G right now. I do believe Garoppolo gets traded during the draft or right after it. Right now, he's not. Jordan Love, I haven't heard that. I mean, Jordan Love for me is Trey Lance with way more turnovers. I would take Trey Lance before Jordan Love. I watched a lot of Jordan Love his last year, and his decisions with the football were just awful. I mean, he threw a lot of picks against bad competition in a substandard conference. I mean, his talent's there, but I would take Trey Lance before I'd take Jordan Love. If Trey Lance were on the board and you're telling me I have to trade a pick for Jordan Love, I would take Trey Lance without sacrificing a pick.
All right, Troy, man, we appreciate you. It's exciting, right? I mean, exciting right now.
It's fantastic. And if they take a quarterback, it's going to be more exciting. If they don't, it's going to be interesting to see how they rationalize the competition for Locke, because they've got somebody's coming in here. They're not going Locke ripping into the season, they just, what does it mean? And if they draft a defensive player, is they're just sitting here saying we're going to win with defense? The defense is going to be better, but you cannot win in this league without complimentary football. You're not winning 20-17. You can't do it. We've tried this argument for 5 years. You can't score 24, 25 points a game. You might as well just plan your vacation for January 1st because you're not going to the playoffs.
Thank you, Troy.
See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heat and Air. Tell me why I'm wrong. All right, here you go. There's no way you're going to have to admit I'm right.
What?
Yep, here we go. Michael. There is no way if Justin Fields, Mac Jones, or Trey Lance are on the board at number 9 that George Payton can pass on one of them and then come out the next day and say, we like the idea of Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock as our quarterbacks, or Gardner Minshew and Drew Lock as our quarterbacks. Tell me why I'm wrong. There's no way he can do it.
That he can. Well, why does he?
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Why does he have to say he didn't? Because he didn't have to say any of that.
There's no way, after everything, all this buildup and all this hype. And Troy is right. I mean, you draft a quarterback, man. It is crack for a fan base. It's just, it gets people excited. It gets people energized. And if you are a first-year GM looking to make an impression, your honeymoon is over immediately if there are quarterbacks on the board, even one, and you pass on it and then try to run back the idea of Gardner Minshew and Drew Lock. It just, his honeymoon will be over. Over immediately. Now, he may still do it, but I'm telling you, his honeymoon will be over immediately. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't get the sense that he cares about his honeymoon.
I think he cares.
No.
I think he cares.
Mike, he's going to do what is best, what he thinks is best for this team. And if that means, hey, I don't like any of these quarterbacks, you are not going to just, if you just succumb because the fan base wants you to pick a quarterback, then you're not a good GM. If you just roll over and say, well, it was like Dave Gettleman used to be a scout here. He's the GM of the Giants. And when they took Daniel Jones 6th, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, Daniel Jones, are you like what? Like way too early. And instead of coming out and saying, man, I'm convicted about him. He's a great player. He is going to be whatever. You're like, well, I had intel that somebody was going to pick him, you know, before we got back into the first round at 17. Stop it. Either have the onions to make a decision, but you cannot let the fan base dictate. You can't let a bunch of people that don't know the difference between, but they don't understand the difference between, you know, 11 and 12 and cover 3, cover 4, cover 1, cover 2. They don't know that telling you what you should pick. Give me a break.
Was it my first year here? I think it was my first year here with the fan. It was the first Denver Nuggets draft. Dan Issel was in charge. And this was the draft that ended up being, let me make sure I have this right, because I want to make sure I get this right. This was, I think this was the 1998 NBA draft. Let me just make sure, because I want to set it up here correctly. So the Nuggets that year. Yep. Okay. The Nuggets, 1998. Nuggets had the 3rd overall pick in the draft.
Okay.
And this was a draft that ended up having in the top 10 Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter, Dirk Nowitzki, Paul Pierce, and I'll never forget Dan Issel. They had a big draft party at McNichols Arena. Big draft party, balloons, the whole thing, right? Yeah. Everyone, you know, Rocky's there. They're ready to go. Dan Issel walks up and he says, with the third pick in the draft, the Denver Nuggets select Rafe LaFrance. Boo!
I do remember that.
And Rafe LaFrance ended up being an underwhelming pick. And then you went on to see the careers that Vince Carter and Nowitzki and Pierce had.
Who went 1 and 2 in that draft?
Michael Olowokandi, the Candyman, and Mike Bibby. Boy, talk about overdrafting people at the top of the draft.
Yeah, no joke, right? Talk about drafting potential as opposed to drafting, like, good players.
Right. Now, the good news for George Payton is there will not be any kind of that, big public thing going on.
Right.
To have people immediately react as he makes the pick. But I'm telling you, Mark, I am telling you, I know this fan base, okay? I know this fan base, I know this media, and if there's a quarterback available at number 9 and he passes on him, I'll applaud him. But I'll be in the vast, vast minority. Torqued off.
There was no
and George
question.
Payton's honeymoon will be over. Over.
Until they win.
Yes. Until they win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he passes on one of those guys and one of those guys goes on to be really good? That's when it's over.
I'm telling you, it's the way that people view the quarterback position. And it's why so many of these quarterbacks get overdrafted now, because nothing energizes or sells hope for a fan base.
Sure.
Like the promise and the potential of a fresh new quarterback. Nothing. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.